Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Well, let me paraphrase Joe Biden and speak from the standpoint of this reparations committee in San Francisco. If you ain't black, you ain't getting $5 million.
Come on, man.
$5 million a piece just for starters? How is it that people who are not responsible for something somebody did in the past are being held accountable for paying and forking over some money, Lynn Woolley? It just is something else, unless you're living in today's woke debate.
Isn't this something? It's wokeness gone wild. Look, I'm thinking about identifying not only as a San Franciscan, but as a black San Franciscan.
Well, you can identify as a woman. Why not?
Well, why not? Let's go. We can stay in Austin, identify as San Franciscans, identify as black, and collect $10 million between us.
That's the way we're going these days, absolutely.
And then we could buy the American Statesman and get rich.
Well, or lose our shirt, depending on.
All right. Well, look, here's the basic story. The San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee. Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If Elon Musk lived in San Francisco.
Wipe that smile
no,
off
I'm
our
just,
faces.
He'd be eligible for the $5 million because he's African American.
He is, partially?
No, he's his, 100%.
That's where he's from? South
where he's
America.
From.
Okay.
Is Africa. Yeah. All right, so this committee, which advises the city on developing a plan for reparations for black residents, released its draft report last month to address reparations, not for slavery, since California was not technically a slave state. So what they're trying to do here is look at the effects of chattel slavery.
Chattel is the word that's used. Interesting.
It's right there in your story.
I'm going to have to get my dictionary out here during the commercial break or ask Woolley what it is later. But
well, you can ask Woolley what it is right now. Chattel slavery is the process of buying and selling human beings.
Okay.
All right, so while neither San Francisco nor California formally adopted the institution of chattel slavery, the tenets of segregation, white supremacy, systemic repression, and exclusion of black with a capital B people were codified through legal and extra-legal actions, social codes, and judicial enforcement, the draft states. Let me just play devil's advocate here for a moment.
Okay.
I'm older than you are by a number of months, possibly days or even hours.
Or years.
So my first radio job, for example, was in 1967 when I was still in high school.
Okay.
Now, back in those days, elevators in tall office buildings typically had operators.
Yes.
And the operators were 100%, in my experience, black.
When I worked on Capitol Hill, the elevators had
operators. Yeah, so what
yes.
I'm saying is there were jobs back even as late as the 60s where black people could get the job because no white person wanted it. There were still restaurants that hesitated on having black people eat there. There were water fountains that were separated. Schools were separated. When I was first born, In my town, we had two high schools, the one that I went to and the one Mean Joe Green went to.
Oh, the football player.
Across
yes,
town. He was never a Temple Wildcat because of that.
Okay.
He was a Dunbar Panther. And so let me ask you, is there anything to this? I'm not totally throwing this out as totally unrealistic or unnecessary, but what I'm saying, and I think what you're saying, is it's been a lot of time has passed since those days. And right now,
well, yeah.
I'm not seeing any right that I have that any other person doesn't have in America.
Well, that's because we're all created equal under the Constitution, not to mention under God. But literally, Lynn, this is something that is centuries old now, at least a century old. People who have never owned slaves are being said that they should pay reparations to people who have never been slaves.
Well, but they're not, again, they're not talking about chattel slavery. They're talking about how African Americans were treated in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, essentially.
Well, again, people who have never owned slaves.
But that's not all.
Yeah,
that's not all. They also would pay the money to the direct descendant of someone incarcerated by the failed war on drugs.
That's interesting.
No, the war on drugs is only failed because it was never a real war. You put me in charge, you'll see a war on drugs like you've never seen before. But instead, why would we worry about the war on drugs? I mean, we're eliminating all that. And of course, the war on drugs put people in jail for using or selling illegal drugs.
Let me ask you
this.
That
was the law. Nobody had to do it.
Yeah, slavery is not just an American thing. The Greeks and the Romans had slaves. There are still slaves today going on over in Africa and in other places around the globe. How is this capacity for being inhuman, which is always a human condition, something that we created in America? I just think this is insanity. Literal insanity.
Well,
and
but,
yet it's spreading like wildfire, and the media is going to be complicit in it, you can rest assured.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure if it spreads to any city, it will certainly spread to Austin.
And
I think we're about 50 years and a few dollars late on this. I don't see a situation in America today where black people are oppressed.
Oh,
I don't
heavens.
See it.
If you're living in America, you've scored the lottery, is the fact.
And you said something yesterday that I push back on.
Which part?
In fact, Phil Oakes wrote a song called There But For Fortune. You said There But For the grace of God. It's the same thing. His song went, There But For Fortune Go You or Go I. Look, I was born to poor parents.
Uh-huh.
My dad was the janitor at my local school. My mother sold Avon. I realized right up front that while I respected my dad as being the incredible person that he was from the standpoint of honesty, integrity, values, everything else you could talk about, and I never lacked for anything when I was a kid, but I realized I wanted to do something different with my life, and I did it.
Okay.
I made a mistake. I went into radio, but other than that, you know, and here I am still. I've always loved radio, but it's never made me rich, but it's made a living all these many years.
Oh,
so there but for fortune go you or go I is the biggest crock I've ever heard in my life. You, unless you're in some mental or physical disability that prevents you from doing it, you go out and you make things happen in your life. Don't give me this crap about people that live on a certain side of town are oppressed. No, they created their own oppression in a lot of these cases.
And then every day you and I and everybody else wakes up, we have the power in our own mind to make the decision whether it's a good day or it's a bad day. But as Mark Twain used to say, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they're being fooled. That's exactly what the Democrats have perfected anymore.
All right, I am going to make a demand of you before we go to the break. I would like, by the time we come back, I would like to see a list of the visitors to the Texas Insider office.
Oh, the White House is
because
under
I'm not sure what
pressure.
Kind of materials and file folders you have there. And
classified documents. And
we want to know.
Yes.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Lynn Woolley, I'm the Secretary of Logic, and Jim Cardle is the Texas Insider. We'll be right back.
Come on, man.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Keeping Austin logical, it's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
Well, there are no visitor logs. And I'm kind of amazed at this. I thought at first, well, look, maybe there's no visitor logs at Biden's Delaware home because he was vice president.
Oh, that's not a bad thought. That's
logical. All right, but then he's been president for 2 years. And the story that I have here from the Washington Examiner by Rachel Schilke says there are no visitor logs kept of people that come to President Joe Biden's Delaware home. And she says President Joe Biden, which I won't say. The location where two of three batches of classified documents were found, and this is from White House spokesman Ian Sams. He told the Associated Press that since becoming president, Biden has not maintained records of those who have visited his residence. Now, here's the thing that gets me.
Okay.
And you ask me or tell me what you make of this. Here's what Ian Sams, the White House spokesman, said.
Okay.
He's next in line after they kick Karine out, I guess. Like every president in decades of modern history, his personal residence is personal.
Yep.
That is baloney.
That's what the practice has been. I suspected you were going to go there. I remember this
well,
came
Well, I
up.
Didn't go there. I'm quoting Ian Sams.
Well, it's going to be part of any story because the same thing came up during Donald Trump's FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago back a couple years ago. There's been other instances, and it's a bit of a peculiarity, no doubt about it, Lynn, is that there have never really been, and it's been Secret Service standard operating procedure, essentially, is why it's never happened. They don't keep track of who goes to a personal residence. If you go to Camp David,
this is baloney. A president of the United States keeps visitor logs, period, anywhere he goes. If it's on Air Force One, if it's to some foreign country, if it's to his house, if it's to his beach house, if it's to his mistress's house, you keep a visitor's log, and they didn't do it.
You know,
now,
good darn
Sam
well,
said, upon taking
moment.
Office, President Biden restored the norm and the tradition of keeping White House visitor logs, including publishing them regularly after the previous administration ended them. Trump didn't like them either.
No president. Well, it's not necessarily that the presidents may not have liked them, but they just haven't done them.
Okay.
I'm not saying either way that I agree or disagree.
What do you want on your log? Juanita Broderick visited on this day, and Monica Lewinsky visited on this day.
You're precisely right, Lynn. You can rest good darn well.
Kathleen
sure.
Willey on this day.
They keep track of every breath a president takes.
This
you're
is
exactly
correct.
Right.
When you want to be president and everybody in politics wants to be president, you give up a personal life. Remember how upset Obama was when they took away his cell phone?
Oh,
you
no,
remember
I've
that story?
That. He was?
He was.
His cell phone?
It was a story for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, I
did not want to give it up.
Forgotten that one. That's a good
All right.
One.
Meanwhile,
Biden's. We got to figure out where do you think this is going to go? Are they going to have to turn over some logs? Because surely they exist. How will the pressure? The pressure, I think, is going to continue
it's
to escalate.
It's called plausible deniability. If they don't exist, they can't turn them over. All right, so Biden goes to MLK on MLK Day and has a speech, and he's talking about how the Democratic he's using the Democratic talking points about fair share. This is not democracy in action. This is a Democrat in action. So,
and we're doing all this while being fiscally responsible. We're making sure the wealthiest and biggest corporations finally start paying their fair share. Far from it so far. You know, if you hold a second, we're here, we're talking about, you've heard me say, and I apologize for repeating it. There are over 55 companies in the Fortune 500 companies that made $40 billion in 2022 or 2021. You know how much they paid in taxes? Zero. Not one single penny. But if you're a local cop, you're a local firefighter, you're a local nurse, you're going to pay 24 to 26%. And they're paying zero. Well, we increased the corporate minimum tax. I want to go back at it. Increase the minimum tax to 15%. Now, that's not a whole lot for one of these major corporations. But no one earned, by the way, no one earning less than $400,000 a year pays a single penny more in taxes. But 15% seems to me to be a bare minimum of corporations making tens of billions of dollars should be paying.
Okay, so here's what my reply to that is very simple. They just released Trump's tax return. I'd like to release the tax returns of all 435 members of Congress, everybody in the administration, and every single member of the swamp that gets paid with taxpayer money.
You got to be fair, Lynn Woolley. Biden's going to default to being fair.
That's right. And
he says, the details.
Here is Joe, Whispering Joe in this case. Whispering Joe says his policies are reducing the deficit.
Oh, my.
And then he slams the GOP for trying to cut back on spending.
We're making this progress at the same time, reducing the deficit. You know, you're going to talk about big spending Democrats again? Guess what? I reduced the deficit last year, $350 billion. And this year, federal deficit is down $1 trillion plus dollars. Hear me. That's a fact. And there's going to be hundreds of billions reduced over the next decade.
Not
so
a joke.
These guys are the fiscally, you know, they're fiscally demented, I think. They don't quite get it.
Yeah, Chip Roy doesn't get it. Chip Roy's trying to save the country by resisting it, whatever he said. All right,
but at least he pulled off humor a little bit there and didn't mess that up.
I don't think he pulled off anything. Look, what he's talking about when he talks about reducing the deficit is we spent ourselves stupid during the pandemic. $6 trillion worth of stimulus. Anybody. My 17-year-old granddaughter could reduce the deficit coming off of that kind of spending.
And Joe Biden's going to talk about Republicans cutting Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Stephen's on the line in Round Rock. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, sir.
Well, before I change the subject, you know, they declared that the 2022 level of spending would become the new baseline.
Yes, they did. That's a scary thing with all the COVID spending.
That sure is. So all the people that are talking about cutting spending, they're trying to do the same thing that Joe Biden just claimed that he did when they say, oh, well, you know, we had 2022. Well, 2022 was like $6 trillion worth of spending, which was up from the 4.3 that it was before COVID.
Great point, and so true. They're not realistic, historically averaged numbers, exactly.
That's right. Okay, so on Friday, I called in and I gave you all my conspiracy theory. It seems like a lot more people are looking into it now, where I think that they're going to continuing finding top secret documents at Biden's multiple domiciles and the CCP Penn Biden Center. You know, they paid enough to get the naming rights there.
Yes.
Wait a minute, then it should be the CCP Center at Penn University.
Yeah, they can put all three names on there, but their name comes first because they paid the most money for it. Okay. Right? So you have CCP, Penn, Biden, Center.
Okay.
Right?
Keep going.
Okay. So I think they're doing this. So it's the sword of Damocles, like I said. They're holding it over Biden, and they're saying, okay, you will not run if you don't give up this idea like you're going to run for president. We're going to drop the boom on you, and we'll be able to get two birds with one stone by running you out of office for the secret papers. Then we'll have to do it to Trump, too, and then they take both the old guys off the top of both the tickets, and that's the deep state essentially controlling who the American people get to vote for.
All right, interesting thought.
Which
and
wouldn't
I think
necessarily be a bad thing, frankly.
What did you just say?
If you don't
the deep state taking people out?
No.
I'm
talking about the reference that if you don't have Donald Trump and Joe Biden to think about for president, that may not be a bad thing.
Ask your smart speaker, are you really smart? And if the smart speaker is, it'll play Talk 1370. The right choice. Cardlin Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardlin Woolley on Talk 1370.
Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
It's the Lynn and Jim Show. I'm, by the way, the cute one. And Jim is the stoic one over there, the more intellectual one in the group.
I guess I'll go along with that. Certainly the cute one. That's a new one.
All right. Well, I know. You got to listen to the commercials to get the jokes.
Okay.
All right. White House says no visitor logs exist at Biden's Delaware home amid classified doc scandal. Jonathan Turley is not a Republican. He's not even particularly a conservative, but he's somebody that believes in the Constitution and the law.
He's a self-described Democrat, and he testifies before Congress, and they ask him, are you affiliated with a political party? He says, yes, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, and so he's a law professor at George Washington University, and he's talking about these Biden home visitor logs, and he says the Democrats have a problem, and one of the problems that they have is that the spin that they're using simply isn't working.
Well, you know, the Democrats are facing a rather unique dilemma. In that they finally found a position you can't spin out of. And this is a city where spin is an art form. But there is no way to spin this. There was an effort the first 2 days to say, oh, this is inadvertent. It's a few documents in a closet. Let's not make a big deal out of it. By the fourth discovery and the other details that have come out, it's really impossible to spin this to say that it's not a very serious violation of classified rules and laws. But, you know, the position of the White House is really getting to be almost comical. You cannot claim that the residence is purely a private setting when you've used it to store classified documents. I mean, it stops being a purely private domicile when it's also housing classified documents.
One would think.
One would think. And the interesting thing in all this, Lynn, a president does have the ability to be in possession of classified documents, ex-presidents. Vice presidents do not.
You know, I remember back in the Lyndon Johnson days when Johnson would go to the ranch.
Okay.
What did they call it?
The
media. What did they called it? The Texas White House.
Yeah.
What did they call? Was Reagan's the Western White House?
The Western White House.
And so Biden's would be the Delaware White House, because they do their business when they're at their private residences.
Great point.
They have their aides with them.
Yep.
They have their papers with them. They have their Secret Service protection with them.
You're always on the job. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, a president is constantly on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, frankly, an 80-year-old man would want it for another 4 years, but Biden seems to love the power. All right, now, here's Turley again, and he's saying, call it Biden's garage or call it a think tank, call it what you will, but that's not the issue. And then he gets to the logs.
And indeed, some people have called it a crime scene, but most certainly it's an investigatory scene. This is a place where classified documents may have been held in highly unsecure circumstances for 6 years. Now, by the way, the saying that you don't have a log to the residence might seem like a good position to have. It's not. It's actually going to be far worse. A log, actually, you can turn over. The House of Representatives has legitimate interest in who was in that house. The minute you store classified evidence in your house, there is an interest in whether there are security violations or possibly of being compromised. So they can get that information from another source, and that source would be staff and family. They can start to interview them, and I think courts will support that.
That's a very
staff, family,
point.
Secret Service.
Yes, because it's part of an investigation. It takes on a whole new realm. That is
now, wait a minute.
Biden,
hang on. Biden had Secret Service protection between the time that he was vice president and was president, right?
Absolutely, you do, yeah.
All right. So the Secret Service, what is their mandate? I mean, what is their mission? Isn't it to know who's around the president?
You would think.
So the Secret Service would probably know everybody that stepped on that ground.
Well put.
And I mean, what if a cocaine addict showed up? I mean, what if somebody who was in bed with the communist Chinese showed up? What if somebody who had been known to consort with prostitutes showed up?
Yeah, there you go, and talking about his son, Lynn. Yes, exactly. And the other thing to think about here is that, as Turley's saying, this is now the scene of a criminal investigation. And I think it's going to come out, or should be more focused on. It's one thing for a president to have classified documents, but what Joe Biden has was documents that were classified above top secret. These were the super secret, most sensitive type of information. And of all places to put it, he puts it in one of the most well-trafficked sites in any home. That is your garage, for Pete's sakes. Next to his gas guzzling
Corvette.
Wait,
did you see the picture of the Corvette?
Yes.
Did you blow it up? Did you blow it up and look carefully at what was around the Corvette?
I saw that.
There was a picture of the Corvette, and we all have Corvettes. All of us, just normal people, have Corvettes
gas
in their
guzzlers,
garage. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, core. Everybody has a car. I have several myself.
Uh-huh.
Not. Because I can't afford a Corvette, certainly not a classic Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the Corvette, to the front and to the right of it, in the garage, looked like lots of people's garages. There were
sure.
Big black grocery bags tied in knots and full of something. There were boxes that were stacked there.
Yep.
There were bags and sacks of things on top of the boxes.
Yep.
You can call it a lot of things, but one thing you can't call it was secure.
Old pictures of Joe Biden in his Corvette happened to catch some evidence there.
Now, yep. Jim Garrity, writing in National Review, says, no, you can't classify Biden as serious about protecting classified documents.
So true, you can't, but yet, of course, that's what he says.
So you put that in the stack, so I'm assuming you read it. I have not read that piece yet. But what he's saying is that the Biden White House mounts an absurd defense on classified document discoveries.
Well, that's what Karine Jean-Pierre has been saying.
Karine Jean-Pierre is on her way out.
That's what Joe
there
Biden—
There is no way they can leave her in this position. She's awful.
The first thing Joe Biden said was, by the way, I take these things very extremely seriously.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If I'm driving up
the opposite,
if I'm driving up Bee Cave Road and I get stopped for speeding, I'm going to say to the officer, officer, I take speeding very seriously.
And
he's going to say, well, then all right.
Therefore, you can not get a ticket or you can
I'll use the Rick Perry line. Officer, could you just let us go on our way?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Rick Perry said that?
Absolutely do. So does he take them seriously or not? Or is this all something that really is going to continue escalating? And can Joe Biden wiggle out of it? Will the media be, as you said yesterday, exhibiting by chance a rare class of example of real journalism? That's going to remain to be seen. I think the media is about to turn on Joe Biden on some of this.
Well, you mean journalism might come back?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Been saying that since last week.
If Democrats are trying to get rid of him, I think the press may soon be trying.
Well, let's go to this Joe Rogan story where he says the same thing. And I have to the audience here, I have warned Jim about this story because Joe is quite profane. So it's profanity laced. So just make sure that you mentally edit it. Colorful metaphors, as Mr. Spock said in the fourth Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Popular podcast host Joe Rogan from Austin speculated that the classified document scandal plaguing Biden was proof that even some of Biden's own aides might be looking to see him exit the White House. Here's the quote. I don't know, Jack, you know what, about politics, but if I had to guess, they're trying to get rid of him. He said it was Biden's own people who had brought the document's existence to light. Quote, my guess would be they're trying to get rid of him. If all of a sudden there, his own aides are sending these, instead of like taking these classified documents, which you have located, and go, well, let's not do that again, and effing locking them up somewhere, his own aides, dude, come on, that sounds sus.
Come on, man.
As in suspect. This is all just phenomenal, Lynn. There's no way, whether you're Joe Rogan speaking in his vernacular or Cardle and Woolley, there's just no way you cannot think this is a grave, grave concern and something that Joe Biden's painted in a corner on.
All right, when we come back from the break, by the way, this is a family show. Cardle and Woolley is a family show. You know, you can have us on with your teenage daughter that used to be your teenage son right there in the car, and you got no problems. We're not going to say any nasty words. When we come back, I'm going to give you an audio demonstration of something else that we have learned that Joe Biden is incompetent at.
Oh, great.
We are streaming at talk1370.com. Talk1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We're back in a moment.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
I am just a small-time, humble talk show host with no ego.
Join in 512-643-5483.
You know, I may not have an ego, but I do recognize my talents.
Well, of course you have no ego. You're just a humble talk show host.
I am a humble talk show host. That's it. But
so what are you getting at here?
I'm getting at Joe Biden doesn't recognize his talent.
Oh, he certainly does not.
Here is Biden.
And he's never told a lie.
Yeah, he's over at the MLK celebrations, and MLK3 is there. Michael King I'm sorry, what? I've got to look this up and find out how Michael King Jr. became Martin Luther King Jr. But anyway, I digress.
You do.
So Biden decided he would sing happy birthday to MLK3's wife, Andrea.
Okay. The important thing being that he might want to remember her name.
Yeah, because the hilarity then ensued.
Congratulations today, the honorees, including your wife, who I understand is her birthday today. Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my.
Well,
that was not
Sal Turner 30, but you got.
Okay, well, let me play that last part
again.
Oh, never mind. He said something there at the end about being 30 or something. Oh, is he still going? Yeah. All right, we'll stop it.
How can that happen?
Happy birthday. Lynn? What did he say?
It began with a V or Valera.
Vala or something?
Yes. Clearly he had forgotten.
You know, I think I mentioned this to you before.
How does this happen?
When I used to speak a lot at lunches and dinners and things like that, and places like the Republican Club at Sun City in Georgetown and things like that.
Okay.
And I don't use notes, okay, with one exception. Mm-hmm. I never use notes, not even an outline. I typically carry the microphone, walk away from the podium, and make eye contact with my audience. But one thing I will do in a city, if I'm speaking and I don't know any of the people there, I'll get an index card and a pen, usually a Texas Insider pen.
Uh-huh.
And I'll sit down with the person that asked me to speak, and I'll say, give me a couple of names here and people that I can reference.
Oh, an old trick to engage the audience.
Of course.
You're an effective speaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And Biden didn't even know the name of the woman he was singing happy birthday to.
And he had set everything up. He had prepared for it. They knew this was going to be part of his little commentary there.
And you notice he said, my wife has a rule. You'll notice he did not say, my wife, Jill.
Come on, man.
That's probably because he had forgotten her name. Jim is over on 1431. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
Every time I hear you bring somebody on that is going to be lose your breakfast material.
Come on, man.
You need to preface it with a cringe alert. I mean, you need to. We're talking about Captain Cringe. This is not the president of this country. This is Captain Cringe. Every single time I see him or hear him, I just automatically know I'm going to lose my lunch. I mean, it's just inevitable.
Yeah, it reminds me back in the 70s and 80s of those Betty Ford detectors people would buy and put on their TVs. It would automatically change the channel. I don't know. There may be some kind of technology. But look, we'd have to have a cringe alert for Biden. We'd have to have a cringe alert for Kamala.
A cackle alert.
We'd have to have a cringe alert for Hillary. We'd have to have a cringe alert for Schumer. We'd certainly have to have... He's keeping up with us pretty well back in the control room.
A bark alert.
We would have to have a cringe alert for Adam Schiff. We would have to have a cringe alert for...
Hakeem Jeffries.
For Queen Maxine. We'd have to have one for Sheila Jackson Lee and Eddie Bernice Johnson. Kassar. I mean, it would go on and on, Jim. I mean...
Yeah, I agree.
What kind of a public service could we do here? It would never stop.
The reason I was calling, all this ridiculous stuff about finding documents here and documents there, I, in my opinion, I think the regime wants to sway public opinion on this fool. They want the public to say no more this guy, and what they want to do is invoke the 25th and install a Kamala just to tick off the rest of us because they know that would make us all angry as hornets.
Yeah, but this gets them around the 25th, I think.
Impeachment?
Yeah, well, no, I think what they're trying to do is get him to quit.
Oh, well, that would still do the same thing. Oh,
remember, that would be the Nixon method of getting out of office.
Yeah, one other thing. I heard on another... from another source that back when Obozo was in the White House, he actually passed some kind of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, little professional, I mean, a personal law.
All right, I got 10 seconds.
Enabling VPs to do something, classified documents. That's what I heard.
Well, we'll have to look into that, Jim. And thank you for the call. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning. Talk 1370, the right choice, and we'll be right back.
Happy birthday, dear Valerie. Happy birthday to you.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
You know, some of the most brilliant, most intelligent women in the United States with regard to politics are African-American heritage women, black women, if you prefer. I'm thinking of people like Candace Owens, Carol Swain. I'm not thinking particularly of Representative Sheila Jackson Lee.
But boy, she's making a run for it, isn't she? Here in the latest issue, or one of the latest articles of Red State, article Lynn Woolley entitled "Democrat Introduces Legislation to Make White People Criticizing Minorities a Federal Crime." How does this happen? How is this even?
Well, let me just say this. This is why we don't get anything done for the people. We have stupid stuff like this introduced by incredibly vapid people, and this takes up time that could be used trying to figure out how to balance the federal budget, how to keep China from invading Taiwan. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that we could do here. How to control our own border and have a decent immigration system.
Yeah.
But no, we're doing things like this.
Sheila Jackson Lee has introduced a House bill to criminalize, quote, conspiracy to commit white supremacy.
Conspiracy to... You know, those white supremacists are just, they're everywhere. They buzz up and down Congress Avenue. I mean, you get behind a car and you got to be thinking, that's probably a white supremacist in that car in front of me. People like Sheila Jackson Lee and the ones, I would assume Hakeem Jeffries and people of his ilk, that believe there's a white supremacist hiding behind every rock. What does this remind you of? Do you remember the Reds Under the Beds scare of the 1950s, where so many of the movies made in those days had this underlying current of the Red Scare, and we were afraid there was a communist you know, in every alley waiting to pounce on us?
Well, it's what Democrats do. They falsely claim, make an allegation against somebody in an attempt to isolate them. They make them so isolated that nobody wants to even stand next to them, let alone defend them. And then they're vulnerable to any type of attack, and the lie becomes, or the allegation becomes, reality. This is just against the first, for starters, the First Amendment of free speech, as if, as you're saying, Lynn, there is a white supremacist behind every tree. I will remind you that there have been, a year or two ago, when Donald Trump was in office, there were claims that schedules are white supremacy. Somebody even said that civility is a tool of white supremacy. This is just insanity.
Southern Cal just said you can't use the word field, like our field is broadcasting. You can't use the word field because of that very same thing. Okay, this is wokeness run amok, and I want to ask you, and we're done with these clips, I want to ask you, and just think about this while we're playing them.
Okay.
How long can a country survive under woke ideology, and is the woke fad about over? And if it's not over, is it still growing? And what do we do about it? Because we can't live together as Americans in a woke society. Woke is the new racism.
Yep.
Woke people are racists in their own way.
Absolutely.
Because everything has to do with race, and that's the very definition of what racist is, when you consider everything to be about race.
And racism is against the law, by the way.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, you mean, well, institutionalized racism is against the law. Yeah.
They're racist.
Well, every corporation in America does two things, and it drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
One is, here's our affirmative action program where, you know, we're going to try to hire underrepresented people. And then right below that, they'll post, oh, and here's our non-discrimination policy where we're merit-based. And they don't seem to even understand that they're posting two pieces of paper that are in vast
diametrically
opposed. Yeah. All right. So yesterday being MLK Day,
A special day in our nation's history, yes.
President Biden spoke about how silence is complicity when it comes to speaking about the abuses of the past. I guess I'm supposed to wake up in the morning, every morning, thinking about slavery, racism, the 1619 Project, critical race theory. I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to be a sad sack for the rest of my life.
And particularly wake up every morning wondering what Joe Biden says about all this.
All right, well, here's Biden on his summit about hate-filled violence. We must speak out.
Last year, I also held the first of its kind White House summit against hate-fueled violence that many of you call for and supported. And Rev, thank you for that as well. Together, we're saying out loud, and we're saying it clearly, that in America, hate will not prevail. As my dad used to say, but it's not original to him, he'd say, Joey, silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. We cannot remain silent, even if all we're doing is pointing it out and putting pressure on it to change. Silence is complicity. For example, with your help, I signed a law, 100 years in the making, to finally making lynching a federal hate crime.
Okay, two things. Number one, did Joseph Robinette Biden Sr. look at Joe Biden and say, Joey, silence is complicity?
You know, that's interesting.
I'll bet that never happened. That now, exactly how many thought. Lynchings have we had in Austin in the last, say, 20 years? How many in Texas?
I would say
how many
zero.
Nationally?
Yeah.
Well, now, we did find a couple of nooses.
Yes.
You know, which turned out to be fraud.
As I always say, Lynn, why don't we pass a law that makes murder illegal?
No, I think we did.
You know?
Yes. Now, Biden dips back into history, brings up Emmett Till to demonstrate modern-day racism.
To silence, as your dad said, the crying voice of little Emmett Till, screaming from the rushes of the Mississippi. Folks, it takes too long. And you've just shown me at the bill signing for other victories to enshrine marriage equality into the law. to make Juneteenth the first new federal holiday since the establishment of Dr. King's holiday. The idea, if we can hold a second here, the idea that we're supposed to remain silent on the abuses of the past, as if they didn't occur, that's not being woke, that's being honest.
And do we remain silent on how America has changed, on how the civil rights movement affected America, on how black people now have a leg up on other people in some cases? Because if you go into a big corporation, especially if it's a woke corporation, and there's a black person and there's you, you're probably not going to get hired if you're not black. I'm sorry. It's just not the way it used to be. And I think... I'm one of those people that believes that black people did put up with a lot. They had a lot on their shoulders. They had a lot of crap they had to put up with.
Of course.
But I've never seen a country change the way I've seen America change, and in such a short time.
A short, short time. And now, overnight.
Here's Biden saying there's more to do about racism, and it's not going to be easy because there's that racist Republican House we now have to deal with.
Well, folks... Well, we have a lot of unfinished work to do, though. A lot of unfinished work. We have to keep building on it and defend our progress, because this new Congress. Look, I know I get criticized from some of you and some folks in our party, my party, but I'm ready to work with the new Republican House on any Republican or any Republican Congress to make progress for the people of America. But like many Americans, I was disappointed to see the very first bill that the House Republicans, and Nancy, you probably rolling over when you saw it, are bringing to the floor that would help the wealthy people and big corporations cheat on their taxes at the expense of ordinary middle-class taxpayers. You know, all these new IRS agents we have is because they fired a lot of them and a lot are retiring. And guess what? Who needs serious agents to know what they're doing and not doing?
How about we hire some border agents instead of 87,000 IRS agents? Not only do I want to not hire those 87,000 IRS agents, I want to abolish the Internal Revenue Service. I want it gone.
Now, what he's talking about here, Lynn, is that, but a lot more than that. He's talking about the morality that you and I have, that is not the gauge of our private conduct. Gauging our morality on our private conduct is not enough. It's the commitment to the political cause. Some people are being held responsible for things. He's asking Americans to be held responsible for things that happened before we were born, and yet the people who are not held responsible for their actions on the border, they're offered the ability to get off for nothing. This is the world turned on its head.
Now, one of these days, your son may come home from school with his fingernails painted a bright red, with some lipstick on, and with a little bit of a rouge on the cheeks. And you're thinking, how did this happen? Well, it's probably because of the schools. We'll have that story next.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Well, a couple of things here about our schools and the state legislature.
Okay.
If you look at this story by Reagan Reese in the Daily Caller, headlined Hiding Gender Transitions from Parents, that's what's going on. He focuses on a number of school districts, but starts with Los Angeles, then goes to the Chicago public schools, and then to New York, and then goes into some districts in Maryland and all.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, school officials are making it their business to not let parents know when a student comes to them and says, I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl, or vice versa.
Yep.
And
unbelievable.
This is like what we had in Loudoun County. The parents are being considered domestic terrorists. The parents don't have any right to have any say in their own children's upbringing, according to the public schools.
Parents,
and this is why I want to get rid of the public schools.
Parents are first and foremost the people responsible for the health and well-being of their children, Lynn.
All right.
What is going on here?
But this is going on in Texas, too. There's a story by Alex Nguyen, probably pronounced Nguyen, in the Texas Tribune mm-hmm. about this similar things to this.
Okay.
And as you might expect, this is not from the standpoint of we need to protect our children from this kind of crap, because when these transition surgeons get a hold of them, they cut them to shreds and you can't put them back together
yep.
to be what they were. This is not done from the standpoint of science. The story isn't written from the standpoint of logic or the standpoint of human biology.
Believe in science, Lynn. I don't know.
It's from the standpoint of the transgender community.
Because I represent science.
Yes. But the Texas Tribune represents emotion and anti-science. They quote a man named Masha Leah, mm-hmm. who now identifies as a woman and as a transgender woman.
Okay.
I'm going to use the correct pronouns. Like many LGBTQ Texans, he worries about the next wave of bills that state lawmakers will consider in the legislative session. But Masha Leah, who asked that his full name not be used out of fear of anti-trans harassment or violence, isn't ready to leave Texas just yet. Let me start by asking you this before we get to the bills that PFLAG, or however they pronounce it, is opposing.
PFLAG.
Do transgender people in Texas, now I don't know very many, but I know two, have a couple of neighbors.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
The premier drag queen of the state of Texas is my neighbor. But anyway,
wow.
I digress. Nice, very nice person too, I might add.
Okay.
But I don't know that nobody in my neighborhood harasses him, her, whatever you want to use. Nobody does. Very well liked in the neighborhood.
But it's not your actions, Lynn. It's your commitment to advocacy.
Wait a minute. Is it my thought? My thoughts are not right, and they have to be changed.
They have to come up with some construct, since we're all, by and large, moral, God-fearing people who treat most of our neighbors most of the time as we want to be treated ourselves. That's not good enough. It has to be, yes, your thoughts or the behind the tree.
Let's get to what the legislature might do. The Texas Tribune is all bent out of shape because of this statement in the Texas GOP's platform. Quote, we oppose all efforts to validate transgender identity. Look, it's like a liberal saying we oppose all efforts to try to invalidate climate change.
That's right. That's not a bad analogy.
But look at it this way. Can you look at me in the eye and tell me that if you or I wanted to do so, we could change our sex?
No.
It's not possible.
No.
Therefore, validating transgender identity gets us into this situation with Leah Thomas and other men who want to be women and compete in women's sports and such as that.
Yeah.
And men with their equipment intact running around nude in the women's locker room. It's crazy. I think we're in the insane part of America's existence. And if we don't get past this, we can't survive this kind of illogic.
Let me give you a quick example. I always go back. The fastest woman in the world is Miss Felix, a gold medal award winning Olympian from the United States. Miss Felix, world record, the fastest woman ever, would be beaten by 300 plus high school male athletes. And yet
you look at tennis, Serena Williams is considered by many to be the greatest female tennis player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The top 200 men could beat her with one hand behind their back.
And yet it's insanity.
All right, so
let's
go to what the legislature is going to do, because we've got a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
This is in the Texas Tribune, which, folks, you have to understand, the Texas Tribune has great journalists. They have great writers. They have a great business model. I like everything about them except the content. The problem with the Texas Tribune is they have nobody on staff that looks at anything through a neutral lens or a conservative lens. Everything is reported and written through a left-wing liberal lens.
Like most of the media.
And that's their fallacy, and I wish the big corporations would cut them off on funding until they become an actual journalistic endeavor. But here's what they say. Republican Texas lawmakers who control both chambers have filed 36 bills targeting LGBTQ people. No, they're not targeting anybody. They're trying to restore some sense and sanity. According to Equality Texas, which of course is a gay rights organization, many of the bills seek to limit or ban gender-affirming health care for trans kids. Yes, if we don't, that what that is the state legislature, the Republicans who have brains, are trying to stop doctors from cutting up children and trying to rearrange them so that they are something they can never be. In other words, they're trying to stop the total ruining of these kids' lives. And you're not going to ever get that perspective from the Texas Tribune.
Well, it's even worse than that. What's going on right now, it's not that you may or may not have a position. It's whether you're advocating. If you, Joe Biden said it, complicity or silence is complicity. You have to not only have a point of view, which is number one against free speech, but number two, you have to be a vocal and active activist. And if you're not, you are guilty of
Well, and I think Joe Biden's absolutely right. Look, if we don't speak out against this gender affirming sexual mutilation stuff, then we are at fault, and we're not much of a talk show.
And we have
to speak out against this stuff and try to counteract what the Texas Tribune is doing.
Well,
and they are really upset about this
because
some of the legislature wants to restrict drag shows.
Well, our founding fathers said that this country's principle and constitution will only work for a moral people, and now they're trying to, and they are successfully doing away with our morals. So,
well, I don't know. I don't disagree with you on that. I think that's absolutely right. But I think for a party that wants to be pro-science when it comes to their climate agenda, they are way off base when it comes to their sexual reassignment agenda. And we've got to speak out.
Surprise.
Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be right back.
You do not know what you are talking about.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Jim, there's a former assistant FBI director. I didn't know him. I happened to listen to it, and I thought the guy's pretty good. He went on with Neil Cavuto yesterday.
Does he smell a rat?
A couple of rats. Yep. He's a former assistant FBI director named Chris Swecker. And Swecker was saying that the Biden docudrama has some strange and unusual aspects.
Well, that's an understatement. What's he say?
Well, he's asking, what were the lawyers looking for? They must have found these while they were looking for something, wouldn't they?
So I look at this and I say, yeah, there's... It just leads you to believe that there's something to hide here or something to manage and manipulate. They're conducting a private investigation while the FBI and DOJ sits back and watches.
That is a great point, Lynn. What were they in there looking for in the first place? There had to be something they were worried about.
Yeah, and here's more with Swecker.
Yeah, everything about this is weird. You know, my lawyer hat goes on and my agent hat goes on at the same time. And I see lawyers rummaging around in early November in a Biden office, in a third-party office, and I say, why are they there? You know, the lawyers don't go moving things around. They're looking for something very specific. Now, we don't know what they were looking for. Maybe it had something to do with some pending litigation or the upcoming, you know, the possible congressional hearings and that sort of thing. But they find things. And that's when they supposedly call into the Justice Department and say, hey, we found some documents. Well, that's when you freeze everything and you allow FBI agents to come in. I say FBI agents, not DOJ attorneys, but real investigators come in and they can follow them around if they want to, but look for more documents and look for the context and the way the documents were stored. Were they there with letters, personal letters? Are there fingerprints on them? Is there DNA on them? How accessible are they? There's so many things that go in. This is essentially a crime scene. And then it happens three other times where lawyers go in and they do their own picking and choosing and how to pick up evidence and retrieve it, which in itself is an art.
I think it's interesting to contemplate. Lawyers for Biden found these documents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why were they in Biden's garage looking through stuff Why were they at the Biden Center at Penn looking for stuff? What were they looking for? Did they have some inkling that there might be some of these documents and they were determined to find them before word got out and the FBI instigated a raid?
Well, the House Republicans, now in control of the Investigations Committee, have said they're going to look into the Biden crime family syndicate, as some call it. And you're exactly right. They run across some things. Everything should have been frozen at that point, i.e. a FBI raid should have happened. But no, the lawyers to this day are still going through, Biden's own lawyers. Where is the FBI on this?
Well, it's a good question. Christopher Wray, of course, seems to be confirmed for a certain political ideology and against the you know, ultra MAGA.
And on
all
the
that.
Deal is what you're saying. Yes.
I don't know. It's just it's crazy. How did this happen after all this time? And then Swecker reacts to Biden's 60 Minutes comments. Remember where he said, how could anybody be so irresponsible?
Uh-huh.
And he says, so then how did Joe not see his own situation?
Yeah, you look at someone who spent an entire career in government, in elected office, doesn't know how, you know, whether he is in possession of classified documents. I mean, you can't miss them. They got big red jackets on them, or blue jackets, or yellow. I mean, they're all color-coded. You just simply can't miss them. So either it's incompetence, gross incompetence, and gross negligence, or something else is going on here. But again, you have to, you know, this is a case where the investigators should be stepping in, and, you know, you don't have to go in with search warrants and SWAT teams and that sort of thing, but you can come in a, you know, in a less intrusive way with agents accompanied by their attorneys, so that they can actually preserve the evidence, retrieve it the way it should be retrieved, preserve and handle it the way it should be handled. Because context is everything in this kind of use of these kind of criminal statutes.
Yeah, what do you make of it? What do you think precipitated the finding of these documents?
They knew that something they weren't supposed to have that was in their possession, and they were going to try and eliminate it. Some of these documents, Lynn, it's been reported by numerous sources, starting with CBS News, were designated as sensitive compartmented information. That means that they are above the classification of top secret. Mr. Biden had no authority to hold such classified documents at all in his private office. And now he's saying that somebody that would do that would be irresponsible. He's indicting himself, and the FBI is sitting by doing nothing. I just don't understand it. That's what I think. What do you think?
You know, I don't know. It's like a mystery. We're trying to put the pieces together.
It's a crime.
I don't know that we have all the pieces yet, but you have to make everything fit. First of all, how did those documents get to the Biden Center, the Penn Center? How did the documents get to the garage? Why were they there? Why were they in file folders labeled Ukraine and China?
And Saudi Arabia and some others, yeah.
Forget Saudi Arabia and some others. Ukraine and China is where Biden has done business with Hunter Biden.
But also included Iran and the United Kingdom.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so. All right. But this is the situation of where Hunter is being investigated. I've never thought seriously. I don't know if this Her guy is going to investigate this seriously. You can find many articles online that don't care much for him based on his past and what he's done before and his internal biases. But this is all related to greed.
It all comes down
to the Biden family wanting wealth. There's a piece in Just the News.
Okay.
Biden's drive to tap, and this is in quotes, earnings potential led the family to the China-backed university and energy deal. And it's talking about 18 months into his vice presidency, Joe Biden had a conversation with one of Hunter Biden's business associates that left an impression. Here's what...
i.e., let's go set up a think tank at some university where the Chinese can give us...
Well, that came later.
Million.
This is from Rosemont Seneca executive Eric Swearin.
Uh-huh.
He wrote to Hunter Biden back on July 6 of 2010 in an email on a laptop seized by the FBI. It said this: "Your dad just called me about his mortgage and mentioned he'd be out a lot sooner and not really back until Labor Day. So it dawned on me that this might be a good time, and also he could use some positive news about his future earnings potential.
Yeah, like a $900,000 a year job at some university for doing nothing.
Those three words, future earnings potential, yep, is how Joe and Hunter have lived their lives.
Literally.
How can we take the influence that we have? How can we parlay that into something that's going to make us rich?
Some payoff for doing nothing.
I've got a little bit of that, a part of a memo. It's been redacted a little bit, but I found a very interesting set of quotes from Hunter.
Okay.
I don't believe in lottery tickets anymore, but I do believe in the super chairman. Hunter Biden wrote that in one email exchange in September 2011, referring to a business partner in Hong Kong as the super chairman.
Okay.
Hunter Biden seemed to understand that a political family tied to the White House also face risks by dabbling in China business, and why such interests wanted to be associated with him, with Hunter Biden. Your question, why does super chair love me so much, is easily answered, he wrote to then business partner Devin Archer. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with my last name.
And this is all laid out and documented, clear as day, emails. Hunter Biden's laptop has been in the FBI's possession. They continue to do nothing. Crime evidence right here, Lynn. It just is unbelievable. And then they went ahead and they made relationships with the Chinese. Joe Biden's now, it's been shown, was making $900,000 a year from this think tank at the University of Pennsylvania for doing nothing other than lending his name and showing up on campus to supposedly be a guest professor, which he never actually taught. This is an absolute fiasco, but you're right. Put it in context. What were the lawyers doing there in the first place? One would have to surmise they're trying to find something that could be detrimental for their presidency.
And Biden, there's another story by Aaron Kliegman in Just the News about Biden having it both ways. Legal arguments for Title 42 and student loans conflict with each other because Biden said the pandemic is over. Then he turned right around and said they want to renew the emergency powers and then they want to turn around and get rid of Title 42, and that would be part of ending those emergency powers.
So because that more sick because people
what
can
well
come
no
in.
What Biden is saying is the pandemic is over, therefore we don't need Title 42.
Yeah.
Now,
but
Biden
yet he just implemented something the other day.
I know, but Biden wants to forgive student debt.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
He's to win an election.
Well, I'm trying to dig down.
Okay.
This was in part of his justification was in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, do you see where the story is going? Biden says we need to end Title 42 because there is no more COVID pandemic.
Yes.
But we need to end student debt obligations because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic.
That they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth as clear as the day. Yes.
Yeah, but that's Democrats. I'm sorry, folks. Democrats are not possessed of high intellects. But they are possessed of an ability to accuse you of doing what they're doing.
Wealth potential.
All right. Steve Moore's Unleashed Property Hotline, always excellent. Wait till you see what he has written this time. We'll be back with that and a little bit on the future of Karine Jean-Pierre on Talk 1370. Remember, you can find us always on the Odyssey app, and we'll be right back.
Yo ho ho!
You know what? I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and have you stop right there.
It's time for Cardell and Woolley's News to Know.
Come on, go.
Before you go.
Here we go again.
Steve Moore, I do think that he has a tap into my personal computer. Maybe he just reads my website, or maybe he's just brilliant.
Well, brilliant minds think alike, of course.
NATO members, he writes, in Europe don't spend enough on their own defense. The Western European countries have been freeloading off the back of American taxpayers for their own security for decades. He says Trump was right. The problem's getting worse. The relative amount the U.S. has spent on military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine versus what the Europeans have spent, The U.S. has already spent more than $50 billion through the end of 2022, far more than all of Europe combined, even though Ukraine is in Europe. And when we include the $45 billion more for Ukraine, approved in what Steve called the omnibusted bill, the U.S. is now at $100 billion. And he says, we are all for helping the Ukrainians against the evil Russian war machine, but 75 years after the end of World War II, Europe has to learn to defend itself.
Yes, as you have noted often before, Donald Trump was the one who pointed out that NATO's own members of the European continent are not footing their own bills. In fact, they're just blatantly not paying the bill. We're trying to pick up and pay for it in the meantime. That doesn't make good business sense. So you're right, Lynn. Steve Moore and you, why aren't they paying more of the bill? That's a good question.
I thought you were going to say, why aren't I making more?
Well, that too.
Right. He's also talking about Biden's new scheme to pay off the student loans, the bailout. He's not even waiting on the Supreme Court. He's got a new scheme. Here's how it works. A debtor pays back what he or she can based on his or her income, and eventually the rest gets forgiven.
Yep.
It would require borrowers to pay at most 5% of the difference between their income and 150% of the poverty level. This means that many borrowers wouldn't have to pay much of anything at all.
Yep.
Look, if you want to go to college, that's on you. I decided I wanted to go to college. I paid my own way.
Of course.
I went to the University of Texas back when it was something of a respectable institution. But look, I'm sorry. I don't want to pay for other people's college, and I don't want to have government programs like this that will tell UT and A&M and Michigan and Ohio State and Georgia and all the big schools and the little ones too. There's no limit to what your tuition can be because the government will take care of it.
Yeah, it's something to contemplate, Lynn. In this day and age, the government does not need to be here to answer and to be providing everything, whether it's cash or, you know, moral perpetuity. I'm looking at an article here that's entitled, it's from the Daily Signal, Five Things to Know About Special Counsel Robert Hur, who's investigating Joe Biden's classified document situation, the most concerning thing. And this has been covered. And I just want to point it out because we haven't had a chance to talk about it too much. Merrick Garland said that this investigation will be conducted in a fair, impartial, and in a dispassionate way. Of course, he will follow the facts swiftly and thoroughly without fear or favor. The only thing here is I've noticed that Mr. Hur was a career Justice Department, or had a career at the Justice Department, where he was special assistant and later counsel to one Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, who is yet to do a thing to look into Joe Biden's garage next to the Corvette.
It's probably too late to identify as black and move to San Francisco, but it looks like the city is moving toward paying $5 million each to black residents.
Wow.
Because of chattel slavery. All that white supremacy going on.
Unbelievable, San Francisco.
That'll put the plug in the jug. Be logical. Remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great Tuesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.